Can you hear the music?
Yeah.
So far, I haven't had to cut my video. You did it right away. Not a lot of people can hear the interview.
Really?
Yeah. Right here. Great. Great. There. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that, you know, intro, outro music. I love that guy. You know, solid dude, just jamming on his instruments, not caring who watches, doesn't give a shit. You know, shout out to that guy. Find him on all the socials, Senjin Boychuk. And, you know, this week, man, we've been working on this one for a little while. We got Jaden Robinson, host of the Blue Collar Future podcast. What's going on, buddy?
We have been working on this for a while. I'm good, dude. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know what? I don't want to jinx it, man, but my connection's holding up. I got my laptop at the window of the hotel room right now. I'm like just praying to God. The last episode, yeah. I tried to do it in the parking lot of the hotel and it didn't work out so well for me. I drove down to behind the gas station and I just tried to use the service down there and it didn't work, right? So, you know, just cut my video feed and it popped right up. So yeah, man, you know, I'm getting over a summer cold here, which is, you know, I fucking hate summer colds. Give me a cold in the winter. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Give me a cold in the summer when it's 34 degrees outside. You know, I don't understand that. I'm not cold. I'm hot. I'm dying on the inside, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I used to get colds, or at least I thought I would get a head cold, at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, like either kind of in the fall winter area or in the kind of the end of winter springtime. And I think I've narrowed it down to I actually get dehydrated around that time because it gets much harder for me to drink water. And then through being dehydrated, all of a sudden I get these like cold sweats and a headache and all of that stuff. And I think I'm realizing I'm usually getting dehydrated and I don't actually get a cold. It's crazy.
Here's the crazy thing about that. I posted the other day, are we too dehydrated? Are we too hydrated now? Are we too hydrated? Is that such a thing? Because back in the day, we didn't drink that much water, right? We didn't, you know, we didn't have Yetis and we didn't have Stanleys with us everywhere. My fucking kids have Stanleys, dude. Yeah. Like what is, you know, like kid is seven and my kids are 7 and 5, almost 8 and 5. And like they have a Stanley or a water bottle everywhere they go, right? And they're just like, I'm a little hydrated princess, you know? And like, it's like, cool, man, you know, like I'll drink when I drink, I guess. And I was outside sweating all the time playing sports and stuff. Right. And like, you know, are we drinking too much now? You know, is that contributing to, you know, look at we're dying sooner right now than ever. Disease and illness are on the rise and we're drinking more than we've ever drank.
It's true. I mean, I think if you look over the broad time, we're living longer. But maybe short term, yeah, people are dying pretty quick. I don't know. There could be a lot of
things out there.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into this, but how has everybody lived up till now with only a couple of vaccinations, and now all of a sudden there's like 100 that all these new babies have to get? But whatever, that's beside the point. I think
did we mention that Jaden is from Salt Lake City?
yeah, Salt Lake City.
It's in the water.
It is. Well, there's a salt lake next to us. It's very salty. You can float in it. Be elevated up out of there. It's pretty crazy. So
yeah, man. I took my wife for a road trip to Salt Lake City. Oh, geez. 2015. Yeah, we bought a brand new vehicle. Then we went on a road trip. Salt Lake City is the saltiest body of water outside of the Dead Sea in the world.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's gross. Yeah. Got to say, it's pretty gross. It's we've taken field trips out there and had activities out there for like Boy Scouts and stuff. It's pretty gross though. I don't think I would go swim in it willingly again. I've had my fill.
Man, am I lagging for you? Am I freezing? Are we good?
I think you're pretty good.
Oh, hell yeah. No, see, that's good. I think we figured out the window. Right now it's saying 2.5 bars of Wi-Fi. So like, dude, you know, we were just talking about this backstage before we started, man. You know, like podcasting is finicky. You know what I mean? Like it's all about, you know, knowing your technology and stuff like that. And you know, when I was, like you were saying, when I was on your podcast, you were using a different program. And then when you switched to a new program shortly after that episode, you know, you cut out like six programs or whatever that you didn't even need.
Yep. Pretty much. It was crazy. Riverside.fm is what I'm using. I looked into StreamYard, like what we're using right here, and decided to go with Riverside. And it seriously was the same cost of what I was using Zoom for. And with a bunch of added video editing features and AI features and all this other stuff. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah. All sorts of technology. Yeah.
This program here now, recently, AI has taken over, kind of, sort of. I don't even have to watch back. You know, it saved me probably 10 hours a week on the podcast, right? Because I don't have to watch back and pick my own clips. So I still do, because sometimes AI doesn't spit out what I want. But, like, you know, it still has that ability or that capability to spit out cool clips that it found interesting or intriguing that it thought other people might like. And be like, hey. And it even gives it cool, like, names, dude. Like, things that, like, wow, why aren't I that smart? You know, like, fuck. Yeah, man. It's pretty neat. And then, you know, we have reusable studios. So if this podcast crashes on us, you know, we're in a reusable studio right now, we can go back and continue recording in this studio. Like, you know, let's say you get called away or I get called away and I got to end it. Right.
Oh yeah.
Use this same room again. I don't have to go back and create another one. And that's so cool, man. That's fairly new to the program as well. So yeah.
Yeah. That's way cool. Yeah. Technology is awesome. I'm definitely glad I put in the time using all of those different things to get the process down. But now that I have this one little software that basically does everything for me, I mean, I can have that automatically make an episode for me with my intro, outro music and all of that stuff without me having to even do anything. And then I just go through and fine tune it. It's pretty crazy. So
it's pretty badass, man. So, man, what do you do for work? I forget. You're like a carpenter, aren't you?
Concrete guy. Yes, but I do a lot of carpentry. I mean, I actually think it's funny because there's a lot of people, like, I'll post videos of doing some forum work and stuff, and I'll say something about a concrete carpenter, and then people will be like, "Oh, please don't tell me you're a flat work guy. Flat work guys aren't carpenters. Come over and build some walls or something." Everybody's got to be, you know, cooler than you and stuff. But yeah, I do a lot of that. I do my concrete, flat work, finisher and carpenter, and I'm a foreman too. So I'm a foreman on the crew.
Nice, man. Yeah, I get that a lot too. You know, like when I was working on a back truck as a swamper, they're like, "Oh, you're not really oil field, you know, do the real oil field work, you know?" And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, bro, like, you work your 12-hour shift and you get to go back to camp. Like, at the end of the day on a back truck, if, you know, most of the time it's like we're so shorthanded, right? There's like no crew change or anything like that. There's times where I've been on site for 40 hours, just caked in. Basically, a back truck guy or a swamper is like the janitor of the oil field, right? We're wearing the chemicals that everyone else is too afraid to touch or inhale. We're wearing that all day, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's crazy, man. Yeah, I'll get a real oil field job. Yeah, fuck you, man. Like, I'm as oil field as it fucking gets, right? Like, fuck you, right? And I love that banter, right? But, you know, I don't work on the back truck anymore now. Now I'm a steamer operator. I keep things from freezing up in the winter, and in the summer I go and I do road construction, right? So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool dude. Stuff. It's been doing the road construction thing for like 10 years now. And I didn't know if I was going to get to come back this summer or not, because I broke my ankle and healing up time kind of overlapped a little bit into the start of the season. Yeah. And then they're like, "Well, we can't bring you back while you're on workers' comp with, you know, another company," right? I'm like, "All right, well, I should be healed by this time." And then I wasn't. And then, you know, I call them up like, "Hey, man, I'm going to get cleared for full duties here in like a week." They're like, "Get your note, call us back." Right. Yeah. So I got the note. I called them back. "Man, I get to go to the fucking Christmas party this year again. That's all I care about. Get me to that Christmas party, man.
It's gotta a good get time. There."
Yeah.
Must be a good party, dude.
Dude, I've gone to almost every party in the last 10 years. And yes, dude, it is an incredible Christmas party. They do a lot of things. So they throw one for the workers, and they throw one for the workers' families, like the kids, right? And they go all cool. They spend a lot of money on the kids' party. and you know, they get them really good gifts, and then, you know, they do ticket giveaways for hockey games and stuff around town, and they take in the winter time when no one's working, you know, this past winter they took us to a ski hill. Anybody who wanted to come, hey guys, you know, through all the divisions, whoever wants to come to the ski hill, it's on us. Come to the ski hill, go skiing, go snowboarding, tobogganing, whatever. So, you know, I didn't think I was going to get to show up. My family was going anyways, but I limped in there with a cast and crutches, and I just sat at the window watching, and I ate the hot dog and shit. So,
yeah. That sounds like a pretty good day.
So how did you get into cement, brother? Like, what's the story behind that? What's the humble beginning?
It's family business.
You're Italian.
No, yeah. I ain't got no Italian in me.
Okay, I was gonna say, do you want one? But I'm not Italian either. So, So what, you were forced into it if it's family or what?
There is a story to that. So I was actually going. I was kind of getting pushed away from being in construction and basically from all the surrounding, like, the stereotypes about, you know, people being in construction and stuff, and you need to go to school and work smarter, not harder, all that stuff. I felt pushed away to go to college. And so all through junior high, high school, I was actually in pre-engineering type classes and doing all that stuff. And then I graduated high school, worked full time, you know, all the summers doing concrete still, went to university, working full time, going to school full time for engineering. I pursued that for a few years, and I got pretty close to, like, I would say like a math bachelor's degree, because I did like all of my math and science classes for my engineering degree. And then by that point I was like, I don't think I want to sit at a desk forever. I don't think I want to be inside like doing this. And I had already been doing concrete, and I was like, I think I'm just going to do this for a while. And then I didn't ever really like it, and I kind of felt like I needed to get out of it. And then around that time I started to put a lot more work and effort into working, and I started getting really good at everything and realized that it's cool. And we're, you know, building shit all day, every day. And a lot of work that we do is artwork, almost. It looks like artwork. And so, I mean, even just the other day we had somebody walking by like, oh man, that looks awesome. That looks like an art picture. And it's just like thinking driveway or whatever. But anyways, like it, you just get an appreciation for the stuff. And I was like, man, I don't know why I ever was getting away from this before. Like I didn't ever like it, and then I kind of came around to it and really started to fall in love with it. So
yeah, it's
crazy.
You know, that was sort of like roofing for me, right? I'm not a roofer. Oh, really? I hate it, but like, you know, like my dad was a roofer. He owned his own metal roofing business and stuff, and he forced me to go to work with him when I was 11. And anytime it was summer breaks, forget it, weekends, holidays, come to work. He gave me taught me how to work and make money and the value of the dollar and what it takes and stuff. And, you know, so I'm appreciative of that. But, you know, I lost out a lot of my childhood, you know, a lot of my summers because of it, right? But it did instill that work ethic as well. So, you know, I can't be too upset about it. But, you know, he wanted to leave me the company. He wanted to leave me the roofing company there. Uh-huh. When I was 18, and I'm like, bro, like I'm gonna run my life into the ground. Never mind your company, right? Like, you built this thing up to, you know, in 7 years, you went from on welfare to, you know, multimillionaire. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, fucking, I can't do this, you know, like fucking just fresh out of high school. So I came west, and, you know, the rest is history. But when I went back for a visit a couple times, and one time I attempted to move back, I did get into the roofing again. I did go help him out. And I was just like, you know, like, I don't want to do this, but if this is what it takes to make money, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm here. Right. And then, you know, after a few weeks of that, it's just like, yeah, get me on a fucking plane. I'm out of here. You know, like, I need to go back that way. I need to go back that way where, you know, I'm on solid ground, and I'm not tied off to a rope. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I could be a roofer. That doesn't sound very fun to me. But
no, man, look at most of them, man. My you know, with the exception of my dad looked pretty good for his age for a little while there. But you get a lot of them, a lot of guys that he had working for him, man. You know, they were like in their 40s and they looked like they were in their 60s, you know, like they those were some hard fucking miles, you know.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, you know, there comes back to, you know, we're drinking more than we've ever drank. We stay hydrated. Maybe that's the key. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I think in the roofer's case, it's probably opposite because they're stuck up on that roof and just sweating away. I think it's probably opposite, but I don't know. You never know anymore.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jesse and I actually had the conversation about how you don't need to, as a blue collar worker, going to the gas station, eating sugary shit and pumping yourself full of MSGs and all this other shit. You don't need to do that. You're right. That's a stigma that, you know, there doesn't have to be a shelf life per se to a blue collar guy, you know, like blue collar men growing up in our day, you know, looking at them at 40, 45, their bodies were destroyed. Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, you know, 40, 45. And that's what the stigma is. Hey, go to school so you don't look like this guy. Right.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, we've got supplements and people go to the gym a lot more and, you know, we got, you know, we just take care of ourselves a lot more better. Right. Yeah. And whatnot. And, you know, I just got into energy drinks, dude. Like, you know, like not the sugary shit and not what you Americans have. You guys have crazy amounts of caffeine. We're topped at 180 here in Canada. So
I drink Red Bulls. They've got 112. We pause.
I paused.
Lost out there. Yeah. You're back.
I'm back here.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Red Bull has 112.
Yes.
Wow.
For 12 ounces. And actually, most of the energy drinks have 160, but they do have a lot of them that have way more. So there's a lot of them that have 240 and 300, and I don't drink that shit. That's too
bad. When I was in the States recently, a few months ago, I drove through North Dakota, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago. I discovered my new favorite energy drink flavor of all time that I can only get in there. And I'm going to Spokane here in a couple weeks and Washington, and I'm going to get a full case of that shit. The Reign Tropical Storm.
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't Reigns have a ton of caffeine in them?
That one has 300, yes.
Yeah, I was about to say, what the heck? Those are the example I was thinking of, basically. Those are the types that, like, if you're looking at a regular Monster or Rockstar, like, most of those ones have 160. But
yeah, I got a Celsius over here I got earlier.
And those ones, Celsiuses have a lot, too. I had one the other day. Is it one of the 12-ounce ones?
It's got 140 milligrams of sugar in it, this one. Or not sugar, caffeine.
I had one the other day and it was like 200 something. And I was like, I didn't even pay attention.
I only bought it to make a video with it.
Yeah.
Right. I never had a Celsius before. Right. So I only bought it to make a video. I saw a good idea because they recently accidentally put alcohol in the Celsius High Noon. Right. So I bought it, you know, I'm like drinking it. It was like when I'm like, you know, my second High Noon at Celsius into the day. Right. And I'm like, do you read the hat? You know, fucking I haven't posted it yet. It's sitting on my phone. I should post it here soon, but, man, like I never drank coffee. I never drank energy drinks. I never did any of that. Now I'm one coffee and one energy drink a day. You know, usually around noon, I'll pound back an energy drink to get me through that afternoon slump, right? But I found the key to it. I found the key to it. Don't just drink it if you're not going to have a busy day, right? You got to drink it and then get your ass to work because it'll burn off quicker, right? And follow it up with water because, you know, if all you're doing is pounding back the energy drinks, your kidneys are going to hate you.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about people looking really old in construction. And I mean, most of the people in construction are just absolutely terrible to their bodies. And you go so far as to say they are like most people don't drink any water, which obviously that's not good for us to literally drink no water ever. And they're replacing that with energy drinks, coffee, and alcohol, and like pounding beers on the job site and stuff. I mean, crazy stuff. And then all they're eating is gas station, you know, rollers and shit like that. And not stretching, not ever like trying to take care of themselves outside of work, going home and laying down on the couch in there for the rest of the day. And then drinking like right before they go to bed, that just like absolutely destroys your sleep. Like there's this whole culture of people that is just wrecking their bodies, and it has almost nothing to do with construction. It's literally just their habits. And that's just the people that we have that to look as an example at. And I mean, that's not an all encompassing brush right there to paint with, yeah. But that's a lot of people that are just wrecking themselves and not take care of themselves. And for the most part, construction guys do not take care of themselves, whether or not they're doing all of that stuff. So it's hard because you can't really look at anybody who has taken care of themselves that has made it all the way through working a construction job for a long time, because they're not around that much. I mean, my dad's in his 50s and he looks really good right now. He's been working concrete since he was in his teens. So it's doable, you know.
Yep.
There are people out there, just not as many.
Yeah, dude. It's pretty wild when you see that. But we're also, you know, the younger generation of construction worker that's coming up is trying to do better and lead by example. Yeah, the ones that are sticking around, I think it was the boomers are like, you know, retiring at an unprecedented rate right now. Yeah. We talked about it for years that it was coming, and we're experiencing it firsthand now since the pandemic, maybe just before and since, you know, after, you know, they're retiring at an unprecedented rate. And I think Northco was saying, you know, what's that, for every boomer that retires, you know, there's, you know, let's say 10 boomers retire, four people are coming in to replace the 10. And then out of that, only like 40% are sticking around.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a lot of generational knowledge and a lot of talent that's just walking out the door right now. Right. And you can't really blame them either. Right. Cause we're complaining about it as younger guys, you know, how the wage gap isn't, you know, with inflation, our wage isn't keeping up to inflation, and we're feeling that. Can you imagine what those guys are going through? You know, they started at like $4 an hour, like 75 years ago, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, they probably are just shitting in their beds at home, just looking at all the insane price increases.
At the same time, fuck the boomers. They destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Whatever. It is what it is. So how did you get started on social media? Like, why did you start the social media thing? You're just like laying concrete one day and you're just like, fuck it. Yeah, I want people to see what I do.
Yeah. So I started doing the social media thing because right when I kind of first started working full time in concrete for the first year, I was falling into the same, you know, habits that a lot of people are doing, just rolling off of energy drinks and gas station food and, you know, probably not getting enough sleep and waking up right before I need to go to work and just like living unorganized and going with the flow, that type of thing. And I felt like crap. So I started working out, and within the first few times of working out, started to feel better, started to get like an actual appetite back, and started to just like turn everything around. And you would not believe the pushback I got from people about working out. People are like, oh, you work in construction, you're not going to be able to work out. You're going to break your body down. You're not going to be able to work. And, you know, if you can work out, you didn't work hard enough at work and all of this bullshit. Dude, all this bullshit. And so I kind of started posting a little bit because of that. And yeah, I mean, just to talk about the trades and opportunities that we have in the trades. And I had, around the time I started posting a lot, my wife and I had a little website business, and that was mainly because I had been learning about all that stuff while I was going to school, and she was a website developer. So we kind of were teaming up that way and doing some websites for contractors and that type of stuff. So I started posting about a lot of stuff, and then it quickly turned into bringing awareness to the trades and health and wellness, and and then posting about work. And I started our company Instagram page, and that started taking off. It's been interesting.
That's cool, man. I like that. Yeah. you know, before I broke my ankle, I went to the doctor, and, you know, I was having some mental health issues, right? And, you know, we didn't know what was happening or anything like that, but you know, just going through some shit, and the doctor's like, hey, you know, maybe try going to the gym a little, right? Go to the gym after work when you can, you know, start working out. You know, you're in camp, every camp has a gym. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I like your doctor. Most doctors would not say that.
Yeah. She's very, and she's like, stop drinking the energy drinks. I hate you. Stop drinking. I'm like, okay. So I didn't listen. So I, my doctor's appointment, I went back to work like 2 days later, and my plan was to start working out at the gym. Right. Like I was going right day one, less than an hour into my first day back, I fucking break my ankle. Right. I'm like, well, I guess the gym is not a part of the plans for the next few months. Right. So I got back to work. July 5th, I believe it was. I got back to work, and, you know, day one back, I go to the gym in the hotel. Right. And I just set the trampoline, or not the trampoline, Jesus, the
treadmill.
Set the treadmill to the slowest possible setting, and I just walked for half an hour, right? And I felt good. I put a sweater on. It felt good to sweat again, but half an hour might have been too long for, you know, just coming fresh off my injury. Right? So like, worked all day, and then I tried to walk, and then, you know, like, it was just painful. It hurt. It was uncomfortable. So I'm like, all right, you know, we'll work towards the gym a little bit more, right? And as we go all summer long here, I haven't taken my sweater off once. I'm just sweating buckets every day. I'm like, yeah, right? And, you know, I only packed on 20 pounds while I was sitting around, and I probably lost a little bit more than that since, you know, I've been back, which is kind of nice. Yeah, which is kind of nice, right? And so, you know, as we get back to camp here, because, you know, hotel life is, you know, this hotel doesn't have a gym, but when we go back to camp in October, that's when I planned, you know, my foot is aching a little bit still, you know, but every day it's better, right? It's better than it was a week ago. It's better than, you know, it's not as good as it's going to be a week from now, right? So when I get back to camp in October, that's when I'll be pumping iron and walking on the treadmill, hitting the bike and stuff like that, just trying to stay in shape. Right. And it's not really to stay in, not physically, it's for the mental muscles, right? It's to mentally stay fit. So I'm excited for that, man. You know,
that is a super huge reason to do physical exercise for anybody that nobody really wants to consider, especially in construction, because people are like, oh, I'm active all day, you know, I'm at work all day, I don't need to go do that too. But that little bit extra, you know, pumping iron or go on a treadmill or the bike or whatever you want to do, the little bit extra physical activity is super good for you, because we're meant to move. We're meant to be moving around. We're not supposed to be sitting down sedentary all the time. And it's one of the reasons why I feel like we're getting progressively weaker and less healthy as a society, because so many people have such sedentary lifestyles, and we're not meant for that. We're meant to be moving. I mean, I only ever feel tired when I sit down, usually.
Usually, I can feel all the years of abuse I put on my body once I sit down.
It's crazy.
I'm gonna relax for a minute. Oh, I feel that in my knee. I'm like, wait, is it gonna rain? It's gonna rain. So, you know, like, yeah, it's like, yeah. I feel it when I sit down and I stop, right? So, you know, I guess, you know, my boss and I joke all the time, like, guys like us, we don't retire, we just die, right? And that's...
Well, it's true. I mean, you see people, you see so many people that retire, no matter what they do, whether it was they're working in some sort of tech job, or they're working doing construction out there, doing road construction or whatever it is, they get to the end of their career and they retire and go home and sit around, and they're dead within a year. It happens all the time, because we've got to have a purpose, and we got to keep moving and stay busy doing something and keep our minds engaged. Otherwise, you might as well be dead, and you probably will die. Especially once you get to that age, you know, in your 60s, and you completely lose all purpose in your life, like, and retire. I mean, most people have a weird idea of what retirement is, like just laying around on the couch all the time or laying on the beach drinking margaritas or whatever. But I don't think that's fulfilling for anybody. And I don't really think you could do that. Just sit around all the time. It doesn't, it's not a long-term play, you know?
I could tell you, I work months and weeks away from my wife. Retirement looks a lot like, you know, a lot of sexercises in our future, right? You know, like all those times that I've missed out on, you know, just that'll keep the heart rate going, you know, isn't it?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, a spoonful of semen like burns like 600 calories, you know, like I'm not saying don't put that shit in your fucking coffee or anything like that. man, I keep forgetting, bro. You're like, you're Salt Lake City, right? You're Mormon. Are you Mormon?
I did actually grow up, yes, and I sort of would consider myself LDS, although I don't really go to church anymore. So it's kind of like right around COVID, I just kind of stopped going because they stopped having congregation because of the COVID thing, and that kind of bugged me, and I just never really went back.
So shout out to Warren Jess and the Brown family. What up? You know,
we don't talk about him. He's his own thing. And what, also
Tony Brown or Warren Jeff?
Warren Jeff. So he's his own thing. He's not affiliated. And also pretty wild stuff he does. He's in jail now, isn't he?
I think he's in jail. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he's in prison for quite a while here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I keep forgetting, you know, like you are, you know, Mormon, you're of faith, and like So I go to make comments, and I'm like, maybe that's too much, you know? Like,
nah, I grew up on construction sites. It's never been too much. I've always been more of like a rough around the edges Mormon. Plus, I haven't been to church in years, so it doesn't matter.
You're like the secret you're like the secret housewives of Salt Lake City Mormon.
Not that shit, dude. That's even more crazy. Like there's always these really broad like stereotypes about religions and stuff. And yeah. I've never really understood the ones about Mormonism, because when I was growing up, I mean, honestly, I attribute the way I turned out a lot to the way I grew up and was raised in the LDS church. And all I ever remember about being in the church is how people are out there helping each other. And we're trying to be like a community of people trying to be more like Christ, you know? And then you see these people out here that are just absolutely dogging on the LDS religion and stuff. And it's just like, I didn't see any of that. I didn't see any of the people that were like super rude, apparently, like the LDS people that are super rude to others. Like, I never saw any of that.
And well, you know what it is, right?
I think it's just like one little case here and there. And all of a sudden people just make it their whole mission to tear down the whole organization. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, 100%, brother. 100%. You know what it is though, right? It's it's the door knockers, right? The guys who are on mission and stuff to come to Canada. And it's like, oh my God, the Mormons are here, right? Like, hey, they show up in their suit and ties. And man, I've talked to a bunch of them. I've made friends with them. They stayed in the neighborhood I used to live in, right?
Yeah.
And like, I never told them where I lived, but you know, I'd see them when I was out and stuff like that. And we'd have conversations about, you know, the mission and stuff like that. And I never belittled them about it. You know, like I think, hey, you know, whatever, you know, do what makes you happy. Let people be people. You know what I mean? And whatever, you know, don't, you know, my mission is to just do me, right? Do me and my family, right? If that's what suits you and makes you happy, man, fuck yeah. You know, have at her, man, you know? And my buddy, his ex-girlfriend, she's doing that stuff now, right? And she's a Canadian. So, you know, like, hey, come knock on my door. You want to sell me some stuff? Come have coffee. You know, let's make a TikTok video together. You know, like, it'd be funny if you knock on my door and I let you in. We make a video and you're like, okay, what now? And then the Mormon would be like, I don't know. I've never made it this far. You know, like.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I think that people people go into the whole the missionaries knock on your door with the wrong idea. A lot of times the missionaries are out there like just trying to serve people. And in a lot of places, they don't even they're not even really like, I know a lot of my friends on their missions. I didn't serve a mission, but I mean, I grew up in the church and I had a ton of friends that served missions. A lot of them, like their entire mission was just them out helping people. Like they'd be out hauling hay for some random old farm guy out in Texas, or they'd be out there like, you know, helping people clean up their yards, like doing all this stuff and never asking for anything in return. They're just out there trying to serve the community and then teach people about the gospel too. I mean, I think you get some pushy ones out there, but for the most part, they're all just young kids trying to make a difference. So,
yeah, man. When we went to Salt Lake City, I was stopped at a gas station and the gas station attendant, when I went in to buy some stuff, he saw my plates. He's like, "Alberta." I'm like, "Yeah, buddy." And he's like, "Man, I did some time in Alberta, right?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, doing what?" He's like, "Knocking on doors, friend. I was on a mission." Right. I'm like, "Oh, nice, man." We got to talking a little bit. And he's like, "What do you do up there?" I'm like, "I work in the oil field." He's like, "Oh man, yeah. Like, I don't know why I use my own voice for when I was trying to describe him, but I'm like, I work in the oil field." He's like, "Oh, hell yeah, brother. I worked in the oil field too when I was up there for a while. It wasn't all about the mission, you know?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." So we had like, we had like a mutual thing, you know, that was our springboard, right? And like that was kind of cool. You know, I've never sat in a gas station for, you know, 10 minutes talking to a Mormon before, right? And my wife's in the car like, "We gotta go, we got places to be," right? I'm like, "Listen, I was in there talking to a Mormon who spent some time in Alberta in the oil day. Like, you know, that's, you don't see that too often. And you know, we're that far away from home. We're 19 hours away by driving away from home, and I'm meeting a guy who knows my struggle, right?" Yeah. So like, it's cool. Yeah. So yeah, man, I love that. I love that stuff.
Yeah. We've got there's a lot of people here that have experienced a lot of different cultures because, you know, of my friends that I've known, I've got a few that went to Mexico on missions, some that went to like Brazil and Southern American, you know, some of those Southern American countries. I know one person went to Japan, Korea, Vietnam. Like there's all sorts of different cultures here, and it's kind of funny because you go to BYU and they're all return missionaries there, and it's just like, you know, all the typical awkward like Mormon jokes apply to just about everybody down there, but they're all like grouping up based on where they serve their missions. It's kind of funny that way. They're all like talking to each other in the languages that they learned and stuff. That's like Spanish or
you get like a guy who went to Japan. Did he have to learn Japanese while he was there? Yeah. Like knock on the door, like, "Oh, konnichiwa," you know, like, "Have you learned about our Lord and Savior?" You know, like, and "Excuse me, sir, do you have time to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?" Right. In Chinese, Japanese, like, man, that's so cool. I thought it was, I didn't know when went that far, like missionaries all over the world.
Yeah. That's so there's missionary training centers, around. So like if there's one in Salt Lake City that most people go to learn like a broad variety of languages, or if they're just doing an English speaking mission, they go down to Salt Lake City to get trained. And depending on what language you're learning, you spend a different amount of time there. So if you learn like Japanese, you're there for like a month learning Japanese, and then they just plop you in Japan and they're like, "Yep, there you go. Stick you with a companion." And then you're out there trying to talk to people in Japanese after you've been learning for a month. So,
"Hey man, welcome back from Japan, bro. How many people did you convert?" "Nobody, but do you want me to teach you how to do the robot? Domo era got no mister."
Oh yeah. You're just dude. It's crazy. And so like you talk to the returned missionaries that they've been speaking a different language for 2 years and they almost can't even speak English sometimes. It's kind of crazy.
Oh wow.
So wow. Yeah, they get fluent for
they just come back from Canada. They just come back from Canada. They're like, "Hey, you guys want some maple syrup, eh?" And I
still
and you know, like
yeah.
I met a guy named Bob and his brother Doug, and we just hung out. You know, like
one of my uncles went to Australia, and so he's got the Australian accent down still, like to a T. He can fool people over the phone, think he's Australian. So
that guy would be a pain in the ass to have over at Thanksgiving. He just busts out the carving knife. He's like, "North, that's no north. This is a north." Right? And like, he's just the most pain in the ass uncle to have around at a family dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's cool. They got a big system going on. Yeah. So
yeah, man. It was pretty cool. Actually, because my grandfather immigrated to Canada from Britain in the 1960s because my aunt had bronchitis. And now it's like, what, antibiotics to help with that. But back in the 60s, only two countries in the world could treat and cure it, and that was Canada and Australia. So, like, you know, had my grandfather decide to, you know, head a little southeast, you know, you know, we might be all speaking outback right now. You know, we might.
Yeah, what? That's crazy. Like, that's one different move, and you'd be out there in Australia. I hear the Australians are very, very trade centric. Like, they're very proud of their trades down there.
I don't want to say I've had an Australian on the podcast because he'd kick my ass. He's New Zealand. He's I can't remember the name of the New Zealand natives. But there's not many of them.
There was a kid who was from New Zealand in one of my classes at university here.
Yeah.
Kiwi. They're a Kiwi, aren't they?
Well, is that what Kiwi, they call them? Yes, Kiwi, but they're...
That's like a slang term or something.
There's actually like a whole... Man, we literally have Google. Okay, so... New Zealand culture. I should just put New Zealand native. Maoris. They're Maoris. And apparently there's not many of them. And he's a Maori, but he lives in Australia. And he, you might have seen his account, actually. It's the FIFO account, Fly In, Fly Out. And he talks about, he's a big account. He's got many accounts, right? FIFO Australia, FIFO New Zealand. And, that guy's pretty cool, actually. I thought we were going to have a harder time lining that podcast up because it's a 16-hour time difference. But turns out, like, 9 o'clock at night for me is, like, noon for him. So, like, he was able to make it work on a lunch break sometime. And, that was pretty cool, man. I was getting off work, and he's like, man, I can do it right now. I'm like, fuck, all right, let's go. Right? That which was pretty neat to actually have happen. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever works. That's cool. I didn't know that just, you know, a single person runs that account that you were able to get a hold of. I've seen their stuff a bunch. Like, their reels pop up all the time.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's into currency and crypto and like all this other stuff on top of, you know, wielding the social media sword to his advantage and helping out the Australian, you know, culture, the trade culture, right? They're called tradies down there, right? Have you seen the tradies account too? They got the tradies and they're those three guys and they're like framers or whatever and they just dance while they're like building houses and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are fun to watch too. I want to get that at
some point. I've had an Australian guy on the podcast before. I was telling him kind of about some of the stigmas of being in construction around here. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't happen here. And I was like, what? No way. You're kidding me. they don't have it. People are really highly respected down there that are tradespeople. And I think to some degree here, they are as well. There's just these stigmas about, you know, you got to go to school, otherwise you're not going to be successful and that type of stuff that kind of permeates into this trade concept. So
that's pretty neat, man. Hey, do you know what viscosity is?
What's
viscosity in your words?
Viscosity. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd be able to describe that. I mean, I would describe, I would say it's a way to describe like oil or something.
Yeah, it's like a fluid's resistance to flow. Yeah.
I almost wanted to say like how hard oil is, I guess. I guess that might.
Yeah, it's a fluid's resistance to flow. And, you know, when you're drilling, right, sometimes, you know, they got to make it less viscous or more viscous to,
the
fluid, right? So they don't, you know, lose circulation and shit like that. And then there's all sorts of problems. But. So the Mudman sponsors the podcast, and he deals in the thickness of your load, right? Yeah, I see that half smile there. I nod your head like that. He deals in the thickness of your load. How thick's your load, Jaden?
You know,
I'm thinking I asked a Mormon how thick his load was before, so this is.
I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure I would answer that question or know how to answer that question because I'm not really sure I pay attention. I'm not really sure I pay attention to that.
Your wife's just like, please don't answer that.
Yeah.
So no, the Mudman sponsors the podcast and he deals in the viscosity levels on the rig and stuff like that for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. The Mudman has your back. Visit www.mudmanmarket.com and get on with him, man. That guy's been incredible for this podcast. I was talking to him today. You know, he hooked me up with a mic and headset when I needed it, the laptop, the MacBook Pro for editing, and now I record on it. So yeah, the Mudman, incredible human being. Shout out to the Mudman. Go Mudman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Man. So now I want to get into your podcast, you know, Blue Collar Future. Yeah. Why did you start that and how? Like what's the why and the reasoning behind it and why do you call it the Blue Collar Future?
Yeah, so I was sitting there thinking one day, like how I could try to bridge all of these like different avenues that I liked to talk about and post about, because on one hand, you know, I was a concrete finisher and on another hand, we did websites. And so I'd like went randomly post about technology and websites and that type of stuff. And then I really like to post about going to the gym and all that. And I just felt like my page was like really random and inconsistent. And then one day I was thinking about podcasts and I listened to them all the time. And I was like, man, what'd it be like if I started my own podcast? And then I just had the idea of Blue Collar Future, you know, bringing people into the trades, talking about technology as we go forward, because AI is like a big concern everywhere, and talk about being healthy as we go forward, you know, with the new generation into the trades. And that's how it started. And I pretty much got the idea and started right away, because I knew if I thought about it too long, I just wouldn't do it. And yeah, that's how we got going.
Nice, man. I like that. I like that, man. Like, so I was on it. Like, man, I like your interview style. I like what you're doing and whatnot. How many episodes deep are you now?
What'd you say?
How many episodes deep are you now?
We have, let's see, we just recorded 121.
121, good for
that's,
you.
Or that should have been what just released. So yeah,
good stuff, man. You know, like you know the statistics in the podcast game, and how many don't even make it past 10. And you know, if you're even in this high, you're in like the top 2%.
Yeah, which is crazy because I don't feel like that. You know what I mean? You go look at like the, you go look at what companies want to, let's say if you want to get ads for your podcast to get paid, and you go look at what the numbers that they want to see are, and they want to see 10,000 downloads an episode, and you're like, that's a big podcast. A lot of people don't even download the episodes. A lot of people just listen. And so it's like, and that makes me feel real small on the list. And then knowing that most people don't even make it past 10 or 20 episodes, maybe even less than that, is it's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy, dude. And it's wild seeing how many downloads I have. And then, like, you know, I wish there was something to tell you how many people have streamed it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that stream, I like looking at the map and seeing the heat map of where I lit up. And for the longest time, I was trying to get into South America. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one day, you know, I mentioned in a video, and like all of a sudden, I got a couple, you know, red dots in South America. Can you hear that?
What? I don't.
It sounded like somebody was moving something around, like an echo or some shit. Like I don't even know. It's hard to pinpoint what it was. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. It's up. Is your mic? Is the cord hitting your mic? I love this. See what I mean? I love this. You know, like, man, what's that sound? You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, it's wild.
And yeah, then, I don't know what that is. Huh, I didn't hear it.
Technology and things that could go wrong and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've come to quickly realize why so many people give up. And I'm sure you have too, right?
Like, yeah.
Oh, man. So get this, though. So last week, right, you know, it was the podcast is doing pretty good. You know, we get decent numbers, better help. Just went on a 3-episode run with us, 3-month run, I guess, of sponsoring the podcast, which is pretty cool. I had another company sponsor, Steady Freddy. Check those guys out. They're out of Australia. They deal in men's sexual health. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And then, you know, but the work, man, the work that goes into it, right? It's yeah. not for the instant gratification or the right now game, right? Because, you know, you're 121 episodes deep, you know, 200 episodes in, someone finds your podcast and it changes the game, right? Like, last week, as I was saying, you know, like the downloads were coming. But then, you know, all of a sudden in a 24-hour period, every 24 hours, I was getting another 1,000 downloads, right? It was like 1,000 more.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, who the hell's listening to my podcast right now? And like, what the hell, man? They're going back listening to all the old episodes, right? From one to... Yeah, dude, it was crazy. And, you know, we just said goodbye to a long-term podcasting friend who, you know, they put out their final episode a couple weeks back, the Second Act podcast. Huh. And I was on that one twice, and they've been on mine a lot. And, you know, that was sad to say, you know, because, you know, the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze anymore, right? And they were 160 episodes.
Shoot. Yeah. You just never know, because you never know when... how long it'll take or which one's gonna pop off, but it will happen at some point if you just keep going and trying new things and seeing what works. And yeah, it's just it's a waiting game almost. It's the same as social media, just I think on a smaller scale, maybe, because more people are on social media, so it's a little bit easier to get one video to just pop off and catapult your the rest of your videos. So.
Yeah, well, on social media, right, they're getting that, you know, 10 to, you know, 60 second long clip that, you know, instantly hits them, right? Yeah. Instantly, right? Where a podcast, depending on how long your episode is, my longest one's been 2 hours and 45 minutes, right? So, like, do they have 2 hours and 45? They see that number, oh, this one's 2 hours long. Do I have that kind of time? Oh, they'll skip to the next. Well, an hour and a half, that might be doable. Oh, this one's 40 minutes. You know, I have 40 minutes to kill.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like 40 minutes comes along and they're just like, they lost, you know, it's just playing in the background. And then they're like, you know, I got busy like 30 minutes ago, right? Like I gotta, you know, and man, I listen to podcasts mainly when I'm at work and I'm in my equipment and equipment operator in the summertime. And I listen to my podcast when I'm at work doing that, right? And you know, that's when I get all mine done. I listen to, you know, all the good ones that I listen to and stuff. And yeah, man, it almost makes you wonder, like, is Joe Rogan on something? You know what I mean? Like, is it the ivermectin? Is the ivermectin giving him, you know, the will and the power to fucking, you know, be thousands of episodes in now?
Yeah, thousands. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of podcasts I listen to that are 1,000 episodes in, and it's just like, I mean, the amount of time to get there. But I mean, you get to 1,000 episodes in, you better have, at that point, you've got a following, most likely. Yeah. Unless you're literally just click and record and posting it and not doing anything else, not paying any attention. Like you're probably going to be getting some pretty dang good numbers after 1,000 episodes, or at least you'd hope so.
Yeah, man.
The thing that really, like, at first got on my nerves was when guests would reschedule or cancel, like, last minute. Because that happened a bunch right at the beginning. And I was like, man, this is so annoying. I can't freaking do this. Because there'd be a couple times I would leave work early to try to make a podcast work and get home, get ready, sitting there and be waiting and like, hey, you know, where are we at? Because I'd have I had a calendar thing that people would pick times to go on. And I think I actually made a time slot specifically for one person, got it all scheduled like a few days out and showed up waiting. Doesn't show up to the freaking podcast. And I'm like, what the heck? And I message him and, you know, the next day he's like, oh dude, sorry, I forgot. And I'm like, oh geez, really?
Yeah.
So like that type of stuff. I'm just like, oh man, like this is just so frustrating. And then, I mean, even when in doing this, when we're trying to schedule this podcast to make it happen, it's just a lot of trying to find the time, trying to catch each other's schedules at the right moment. And it doesn't work always. And it can get really frustrating if you let it. So that's one thing people got to get over. And I don't think people usually do. And then getting over the fact that they've got to consistently put them out there and do all the editing and the social media stuff. And yeah, it's a lot of work.
I've constantly got like 4 or 5 people that I ask like every other day. Yeah. Right. And then like, I knowing that 3 of them will say no. Right. Yeah. And it's like, all right, well, you're kind of busy. You said yes. All right, cool. I pray to God the other one doesn't say yes too, right?
But
I haven't had that problem yet where 2 people said yes or 3 people said yes all at once.
That's so, like, been my issue, dude. I've been talking to like, I'll have to talk to like 3, 4, 5 people at a time. And there's been times where nobody can get on. And I'm like, who the crap am I going to have come on this podcast? And then other times where I will have 3 people say yes. And I've had 3 people say yes and 2 people actually go through and 2 recordings in a weekend before. And it's just like, there's no consistency there. It's such a pain.
I know I have to start batch recording right now because I'm heading up to Northern Saskatchewan next week. Uh-huh. And I know the cell service here is shit. I know up there it is almost nothing. Right. So I know I haven't missed an episode in 138 weeks now. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I got a batch record so I can continue not missing episodes. Right.
Yeah.
And that's been a hard thing to do too, giving my schedule, right. Where, you know, before it was like, oh, I worked 40 hours straight or like, you know, not knowing that it was going to happen like that. Or, you know, I got called out last minute or, you know, shit like that. But so like, I understand when people will be like, hey, you know, like I can't do it tonight. Like the other night we were going to record and I'm like, hey man, you didn't hear from me by a certain time. So you're just like, I assume it's not happening. And then, you know, my boss got a hold of me last minute, was like, hey, you can go home tonight. But if you stay here, you got to drive 5 hours in the morning to the safety meeting. Right. Whereas, you know, I'm 15 minutes. So I'll drive that 5 hours tonight, get it done. And we'll spend the night with my wife and my kids and then see you at the shop in the morning. We'll take off and head out from there. So I was like, hey man, you know, like I'm going to get home at 8:30 and you know, I know my wife's going to want to do some things, but I'm excited because I have a new podcast studio at home that I have set up.
Oh yeah.
On air sign. I got a new computer chair.
Oh, that's cool.
I got like a little studio set up and I was there all last weekend. Couldn't find anybody that wanted to record last weekend. You know, and it was what it is, right? I'm like, all right, I'll get you on the road. And this will happen in this studio here. It'll happen when it happens, right? And, you know, that's just my podcast. The mantra with the whole podcast thing has been like, it'll happen when it happens, right? There are some people I'm still waiting on 2 years to get on this show, right? And you know, we've been 2 years in where, you know, you and me, what was it, almost a year ago, we recorded yours, right?
I didn't think it had been that long, but it was end of last year sometime in the fall or late fall or the winter, something like that. It was, it's been a while now, which the time has just flown. It's been crazy.
What kind of people do you talk to on your show? Like who I shouldn't say notoriety because they're all good guests. We all have something to contribute, but you know, like who's been the coolest person you've had on your podcast? Don't say Dick Frost either.
There's been a lot of people because there's been a lot of people that have been close to me here that I've known that I've brought on that haven't really had a bunch of notoriety that I've thought were really cool guests to have. And it's hard because I don't want to chase just notoriety and influential guests, we'll say, like based on social media or whatever, because like you want to at a certain point to enable to get more views and all of that. But I also want to have good guests that really vibe with what we talk about and have a real purpose to be here. And like in the beginning, I talked to a lot of business owners because a lot of people that own businesses are the ones that are more likely to want to get onto a podcast and like promote themselves and stuff. And then I started going after some kind of influencer type people. I've had a lot of really cool people on. I'd say one of the coolest ones was actually Jesse, who ended up becoming my co-host, and he lives around here. So and that's been really cool how that worked out. I think he actually came on as the co-host right around after we had recorded. So
it was shortly after that. I've had Jesse on mine. I love Slim, man. Slim is
he's, yeah
He's a tall motherfucker.
Dude, he is way tall. He's way tall. He makes me... Yeah. I sent a picture... Maybe I did. No, I think Jesse did. To the Trollco group chat, like, sometime earlier this year, late last year or something. And it was a picture of the two of us, because I stopped by his job site one day, and Brock was like... Father Sunday or what? Or bring your kids to work day or what? Because he literally makes me look like a little kid next to him. Yeah. And it's crazy. I mean, what, I think he's like 6'6" or something. And we actually haven't had an in-person podcast since our first one. So ever since he's been my co-host, we haven't made it work in person yet. Mainly because I haven't been able to get a studio set up that I like without having to go rent one or something.
Yeah, and you need to put like basketball-sized player doors in your house. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. No kidding.
You need to get Joey Schumann in there to build you a door.
Dude, he built some big doors.
They're expensive doors, man. Have you heard have you seen how much they are?
I've seen
$100,000 or more for a
door. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he would talk about that in the troll chat, and I'm just like, dude, what the heck? And people are paying, like, they're paying for it. They don't even care. Crazy.
California, man. California pays to be a liberal.
Yeah, and they're all coming to Utah right now, actually, so they're driving our prices up. We actually have the fourth or the fifth highest home prices in the U.S. here. We are like right behind California and Hawaii, I think, is above us. They've got, you know, obviously a very limited supply down there. And like, we're basically more expensive than like the entire East Coast too. And I think there's like one place over there that's more expensive than here.
So where I'm from originally, Hamilton, Ontario, is the third most expensive city in North America. It goes Vancouver, Toronto, Hamilton. Right below Hamilton is Los Angeles.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
Crazy, man. Like, yeah, dude, the cost of living in Canada is stupid.
Yeah, well, shoot, sounds like you're trying to make your way down here or something.
Oh, buddy, we're trying to become the 51st state.
I'm kind of sad that hasn't been more of a running joke lately, because that joke was really funny there for a while, and then they just kind of stopped with it.
Well, what are we going to make you guys? Why don't we just make you guys the 11th province, you know, like the 11th province of America? Let's go, you know?
Oh, yeah, might as well. There's a lot of people that keep talking about how Canada would be better under the states and all of this other stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't know. It's hard. Like, it started off as a joke, and I think it was supposed to be a joke the whole time. Yeah. And people are taking it serious. And I'm like, you guys gotta stop like acting like everything is so, I don't know, not being able to take a joke, I guess. Everything is so serious.
Trump is a big troll. And once he realized that, like, you know, once he realized that got people riled up, including our leaders here in Canada, he just started playing into that emotion, right? And, like, it was funny. It was funny as shit watching him say it. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, very good country up there. They could be the 51st state. And, you know, I talked to, you know, Senator or Governor Trudeau today, you know, and it was like.
Yeah, dude, it's so like, funny.
It determined our election. Like, that whole thing determined our federal election here like a couple months back. Like, people took it that seriously. We're just like, oh my god, you know, like our next leader was gonna be conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. And like, you know, people were just like, well, no, we gotta pivot, and I think this guy's the best guy to take on Trump right now. I'm like, you're gonna our entire country, all of our you know, laws and our bills and regulations and shit, you're gonna base this off of Trump alone? He's gonna be gone in 3 years. He's laughing at you.
Yeah,
he's fucking laughing at you guys right now. Dude. He even said it though. He's like, I'd rather deal with the liberal leader Mark Carney, because he knew that Pierre Poilievre would be, you know, pushing back on him harder, right? And that Mark Carney actually has a lot of his businesses through Brookfield, which is based out of the States.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So He knew he could wrap Mark Carney around his fingers.
Oh, dude. He knew what he was doing. And he also knew that it would never happen. And I think most people realized that it was super unrealistic and it was just a joke. But we had we had the whole liberal left here in outrage because he was, you know, claiming he was going to make Canada the 51st state, as if he was like literally saying he was going to do it for sure. He was joking around. Like, people don't understand that he's sarcastic. And this isn't me even advocating for Trump. You know, I just thought it was hilarious, and people freaking, they fell for it, and they fall for it every time. It's crazy.
They call Pierre Poilievre the Canadian conservative leader. They call him Maple Mega, right? And we're just like, I'm like, oh my God. And at this point, it's kind of trolly for me too. Like, I laugh at it because it's funny. Trump is literally, every time he opens his mouth, it's a punchline, right? Like, every single time, it's hilarious. And he knows it. He knows he's like, let's see, you know, like, I can't wait. Okay, picture this, okay? Because he's a boomer, right? I can't wait until, like, some millennial one day is the president. It'll happen, obviously. It has to happen. One day we're going to have a millennial president and a millennial prime minister here in Canada. Uh-huh. And that they grew up as meme lords and just trolls on the internet, right? You see all kinds of things, like, you know, like the U.S. president will be like, you know, like saying something to the Japanese president, and he's also a millennial, and they're just, you know, the physical wars are done. We're just going to have meme wars. You know what I mean? Like, you know, start the meme wars. I fought in the great meme wars of 2050, you know?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, Trump kind of paved the way for that with all of this random BS he posts about. Like, he just gets a little out of hand, honestly.
Oh yeah.
With his posting. And I'm getting to the point where I feel like it's not even him running his X account or his Truth Social account where he posts all these ridiculous long posts. There's no way he has time to type all that crap out. And he's posting like all the time, dude. He's paying somebody right now and paying someone to rage bait everybody.
Oh yeah.
And it's honestly good. Oh dude, he's laughing his ass off. And he probably doesn't even know.
He's like, "Yeah, that's good. That'll make them shit their pants." You know.
and all of this lately about the Epstein crap is just crazy too. I mean,
does the list exist or doesn't it? What do you think?
I don't know. We claimed to have been leaked forever ago, and everybody was all about it, and all of a sudden they're not, you know. And all of the leaders have supposedly, all the people in the government have supposedly seen it or something, and they just don't want to tell anybody. I'm starting to think that it's real, and it's just everybody is on it, and nobody wants it to be released because then everybody's going to go to jail for it.
Yeah. So,
like our entire government. And my whole thing is everybody's getting outraged because they say that Trump is in the Epstein list and that he's like, he has a lot of very incriminating evidence in there. And people are coming forward now and speaking out against him and stuff. And I'm like, okay, where has all this been the entire time the liberals have been trying to throw him in jail? Because this would have been really easy unless they are all in it too, so they can't throw him under the bus because they're in there too. Dude, it's just like, that's the only way I see this playing out. Or it's all just a big ruse and it was literally just a sideshow to distract everybody from what's going on, which could be the case. I don't know.
Okay, let's do this. If you had to choose somebody that's real, not real, dead or alive, to be on this Epstein list, and make it ridiculous, who would it be? Who would you think would be on an Epstein list? Go. Let's hear it.
Dude.
Go give me the top three.
Dude. I don't know if this is necessarily crazy. I feel like Ozzy Osbourne was on there.
Oh, shit.
Dude, that guy's a psycho. I just saw the other day.
Apparently. He just bites the head off children. Like,
dude, the other day, I saw a story back in the 80s. He shot, they had a bunch of cats. He shot 17 cats of his with a shotgun and then sat underneath his patio deck or whatever with a shotgun and a knife waiting for his wife to get home. Like, that is wild. He was cracked out.
That's heroin.
Crazy. Yeah. Dude, he was messed up. He's probably on there. I have no idea. Dude, honestly, I don't even know if I could choose anybody because I'm starting to get worried that everybody's on it. That everybody in some sort of influential position is on it. And that's how they've all got to be.
I just bought a bed frame from Wayfair. I'm starting to worry that I'm fucking on it, you know? Like, possibly, I just thought, like, Bradley Bedframe, you know? Like, did I just fucking buy a boy named Bradley? Like, shit.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You know, getting down this rabbit hole stuff, you get into the weeds on a lot of this, and yeah, people have got a lot of ideas, and I don't like any of them. It's almost...
I think Waldo from Where's Waldo's on it. That guy gives me the fucking poop. You know? Where's Waldo? You never know. Draw an island somewhere in the middle of the ocean and try to find Waldo. You know where he's at? He's in the hut in the ocean. That's where fucking Waldo's at.
Do you think Epstein killed himself?
Oh, buddy. No, I think he got too close to something. And, dude, no, he didn't kill himself. Come on. In a jail cell when the cameras were off, when guards that were supposed to be on break or gone home already.
Oh, dude.
Or whatever. Come on, man. No, no way.
It was that was a right-wing commentator or something that got into a position in Trump's administration. And then, like, all of a sudden decided that Epstein killed himself and that there was evidence. And he has been saying for years that he didn't kill himself. Well, who was that I saw recently? I was like, what? This world is just going downhill.
We are. Where can people find your podcast? What's your biggest platform anyway? Like, what do you get the most? I love looking at the insights on that, man. You know, and they changed recently, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of views. Well, my biggest platform is our Concrete page. As I get a lot of views on there, and it's not always people shitting on work that we do, you know. Sometimes there's some constructive people commenting on these videos, but as far as like the podcast and stuff, and I get the most views on my personal page for things. Yeah. And you can find my podcast anywhere podcasts are listened to, you know, YouTube, Apple and Spotify. And we have an Instagram page. So, oh yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. I love that. Where do you hope to see this podcast go? Like, what's your 5-year plan? What you got a 5-year plan, or does it not go that high, or like,
so,
you're living week by week essentially? Like,
so me. I started this, I had no idea how long it would go, no idea of what it could possibly turn into. I was just like, you know what, I'm going to start this podcast and see how it goes and do it for a year. And I got done with a year and I was like, I don't really feel like giving up anytime soon. And so, you know, it turned into another year, and now we've got two and a half years down, and a co-host, and I've had to been given some serious thought to where we want to go with it, because we're, you know, in order to keep going, we've got to start bringing in some sponsors or something, and start kind of leveling up our content game and all of that. So I've actually been working on my mission statement, we'll say, for it, and I'm not sure. There's a lot of places I could see it go. I've wanted to get into almost having like a community for blue collar people to get information that's helpful to them, like especially workout tips and stuff, and then like project guidelines and how to's and stuff. Like, have this whole community built around that. But that's a big, really big endeavor, you know. So it's like, where do I want to take it? I just want to keep helping people figure out whether or not they want to join the trades and see that it's a viable possibility. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, I have a big goal of wanting to get Mike Rowe on my podcast.
That's my big goal. I think we've talked about that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like right now. If I was to say, oh man, there's this crazy goal that seems super out of reach, but I am just going to focus on it, and this is what I want to do, it would be get Mike Rowe on the podcast, because he's just this one guest that's like, dude, even though he's not even really worked in the trades, he's so influential around the trades from dirty jobs and all of this other stuff, and he's super interesting, and he's just like the guy to have on to talk about trade work. And that would be, you know, I'll say like a kind of a side goal, I guess, or maybe that's my main goal right now, but it's just this lofty goal to kind of reach towards. And then it becomes, well, what do I need to do to get there? What kind of podcast do I need to start cultivating? How big do I need to grow this thing? Then we go from there. So I'm working through that right now. Maybe I'll have a better answer someday. Maybe next time if we do this again.
Yeah, man. So. Mike Rowe, dude. Mike Rowe's been my white whale for this podcast for the last
year.
I wanted him on episode 50. I wanted him on episode 100. We didn't get him. And that's all right, man. I'm happy with who 50 and 100 were, you know. And that's you know, more set. 50 and 100 were more geared towards what I'm about anyways, right? And my podcast has been, you know, sort of like yours, right? You know, like if you want to join the trades, you know, come talk about it. If you are in the trades, come shoot the shit. Come listen to people just like you. You're not alone, right? Mentally, you know, I talk about mental health a lot, right? So, like, mentally, you know, we're all struggling, you know? And, like, I started journaling in the last few months, right? And
that has been transformative,
transformative in my mental health. I made a whole, that my first solo episode I ever did was a couple weeks ago.
I saw that.
Yeah, man. Did you listen to it?
I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw it and it intrigued me and I was going to listen to it.
Yeah, soon, man. I read a passage from my journal, something I wrote when I got called back to work and how it made me feel. Knowing that, you know, I just spent the last 5 months, a guy who works away from home for months at a time, but I just spent the last 5 months at home healing physically and mentally and with my family, right? So, like, we all got to heal together in different ways that we each didn't know we needed, but, you know, we were there and that was happening. And I shared that journal passage about how that call back to work made me feel and what I was mourning. I wasn't mourning the fact that I had to go back to work. I was mourning about what this chapter of my life meant to me, right? And that, and in the end, it turns out I wasn't really mourning. I was celebrating, right? I was celebrating at the last few months and what it meant to my family and I, right? And that was, you know, it made me tear up when I was writing it. It made me tear up when I read it to my wife. It made me tear up when I read it to my therapist. And then, you know, I kind of got a little choked up again. I did not expect to get choked up that many times about it, but I got choked up again when I read it on the podcast, you know, and it was crazy because there's no video for it. There's no video footage of it. My wife was watching the video back because, like, when I was recording, there was, but I didn't put that video up. I'm sitting in my hotel room, buck naked, fucking reading in front of the camera, just fucking doing this episode. And my wife's sitting there watching, like, shaking her head. She's like, "What the hell were you doing? You're not putting this video out, are you?" And I'm like, "Obviously." Like, I had to do some editing on it too because, you know, I had to get up and go to the bathroom, and then I had to get up and I was texting my wife in the middle of it. And yeah, you know, it's just it's funny, a little inside, little, you know, behind the scenes tip there about how that episode was recorded.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep in mind when you're buck naked. Yeah.
When you're watching it or listening back to it, just keep in the back of your head that I'm doing the helicopter at some
point. Yeah. Yeah. At some point while you're bawling your eyes out, you got waterworks going on too.
Yeah, so, man. And then, you know, so yeah, we're all struggling and, you know, it's kind of become like, you know, a guideline, I guess, if you want, for some people that, like, "Hey, thanks for talking about that. Thanks for bringing that up. I feel this way. I feel this way. Thanks for being, like, the man's man and talking about it," right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And, you know, they don't want to admit that they heard it. And that's cool, too, right? Just if you need to hear it and you hear it and you don't want to, like, talk about it, that's fine. Listen. If it helps, just listen. And then, you know, if you're a young kid trying to get into a trade, well, I talk to guys from all different kinds of trades. We get into what they do, what they go through, and like, oh, shit. Or if you're a guy in a trade that's looking at making a switch, well, shit, you know, there's 137 episodes of different trades that I could think about getting into, right? And that's what I love, man. I love chatting with guys from all over the place. And like you said, they don't even have to have notoriety. I actually find I get the best episodes from people who don't have a following, right?
Yeah.
They not only do they appreciate it more, right? Because they've never been asked to come on one before.
Yeah.
They'll share the fuck out of it more than someone with a following will, right?
Because they're
like, "I'm pumped. Hey, I was on this podcast. I was on it. Yeah. Listen," right? And that's cool too, man. You know, like, and you know, we've had Harbinger on here who just recently came into my life within the last, like, 8 months or so. And she came into one of my lives one day and was like, hey, man, I like your content. Oh, you got a podcast? Let me go listen. And now she's on a podcast episode, right? And that's cool, man. I think, yeah. You know, as a guy who that happened to in the journey of things, right? I'd never been on a podcast before. I started making content, started watching other people. Other people asked me to come on their podcast. And I was blown away by that. Someone wants to talk to me, right? And then, you know, yeah. It led to me getting my own, right? So, like, you know, that's been yeah. pretty transformative, you know, and watching other people go through their journey is pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. Like right when I first started like laying out the plan for my podcast, I hadn't even recorded an episode yet. There was a podcast that asked me to come on. I think they reached out to me through LinkedIn, and we actually tried to record an episode before I ever even recorded one for mine. And I was like, man, this is crazy. The people are asking me to come on theirs already. Like, what is going on here? It's almost, the opportunities were coming in just because I was working on putting myself out there. And that episode didn't even get released because we had a bunch of technical problems, but it still was like, people are asking me to come on theirs. And this is crazy. And I think this is the third or fourth podcast I've been on in the last couple months for somebody else. And I think I've really only been on six other people's podcasts total so far. And it's weird being not the host, to tell you that, but it's cool. It's a different side of the camera, or the different side of the conversation I don't get to see very often.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of people, when I ask them to come on and they've never done it before, they're like, I'm not very interesting. I'm like, it's not your job to be interesting. It's my job to all the work's on me, all the pressure's on me, right? Yeah. It's my job to find something in you to bring out, because everybody has it in them. I found it. I had Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna on my podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had this happen to me a couple times where, like, you know, I really had to dig deep. I really had to like dig deep in there to get them to open up. But once I found that crack, open them up, they started spilling, and then they got passionate about what we were trying to talk about. And then it made the show, right? It might have taken a little while to get there, but you know, there's only been one episode where I recorded that I've had to, like, you know what, let's cut this short and not ever put it out, you know, and there was no way I could do anything with it. And I feel bad about that. Maybe I need to go back and ask them if they want to come on again and maybe try another crack at it, because I do like their content.
Did you talk to them about it afterwards?
No, I didn't talk to about it. I don't know how to have that conversation yet, and I don't want to be, you know, a dick about it. You know, I don't want to be a Dick Frost about it.
Yeah. You don't want to be rude. But hey, you know, it just didn't work out. I've had a couple that were pretty rough don't say too much, you know? Like there's some people that can't stop talking, and I'm like sitting there listening, and I almost don't even need to say anything, and they just keep rambling on. And I need to interrupt more, and I don't.
Yeah.
And then there's people that I'll sit there and ask questions to, and they'll give me like a one word answer. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to do with that? But I haven't had too many of them.
I don't know if you know who LJ Musqua is. He's a big Aboriginal Native American content creator. He's big here in Canada. Anyway, he's got lots of followers, and he's a stand-up comedian and works in the oil field and stuff. And, you know, having him on, man, like, I didn't get to do a lot of the segments of my show that I do, right? He just, you know, right from the intro to the outro, man, he just started talking, and that was it, right? I let him go because, like, he's an interesting fella. He has a lot of cool things to say, and his journey has been pretty extraordinary. So, you know, like, it was one of those ones where it was like, you know what, like, I could intervene, but why? Why would I step in there and do that when, you know, I need to let him. He needs to be let go.
Yeah.
He needs to let go, right?
Yeah. You don't need to hold the leash. He needs to just be able to roam free. I mean, a lot of times, your job is to guide the conversation to where you want it to be. But if they seem like they're taking it in a good direction and they've got to, if you like the way they're going and they just keep going, and you don't have to jump in and and spur the conversation on. I mean, yeah, let them go ahead. I mean, there's people that probably don't like that when they're listening, but there's people that don't like a lot of things when they listen to podcasts. So, you know, what are you, it's up to you as the host to figure that out. So I think it's works out fine.
Oh, dude, I wasted all our times on this one episode I had. Do you know who, I can't remember her name anymore. Fuck, I worked really hard at getting her on, and we worked really. And then, you know, she's from Tennessee, and she had a movie made about her. Really cool girl, welder, and yeah, she's really cool shit. We worked really hard at lining it up. We lined it up. I got her, and I paid money to watch her biography, right? And then, you know, one thing was said in the podcast that she didn't like, and. You know, we did the podcast. She didn't end it there. She didn't tell me there. One thing was said, and after we ended it, I got a text message that I didn't see the next day until after I had already edited it, right? I saw it. She's like, hey, you know, I didn't like what was said there, and I think we should not go ahead with this podcast. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, hey, I can edit that part out. It's not a big deal. She's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry for wasting your time. I got a little carried away on a little joke. And I realized that after I said it, you didn't like it. I could see your face. So I changed direction, you know, and you know, it's too bad because she's cool shit, man. I would have really liked to have had that episode come out. It was a really good, I have it recorded still, not stopping me from like putting it out there and like not tagging it, but out of respect, I'm not ever going to do that. So.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, I think people just, I guess if it's something that was said that made her uncomfortable, you know, whatever. A lot of people get too. Oh, really? Well, I think a lot of people just get too worried about things that they say to begin with, or that happens, and they're like, "Oh man, I don't know what people are going to think." And it's like it doesn't matter. I mean, in a conversation that's you know, an hour and a half long like this one, I'm sure there's stuff said all the time that people are like, "Oh man, I can't believe I said that," but that's human nature. That's how it goes.
Yeah. And if you don't want that in there, just tell me and I'll take it right out.
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy. I just throw it in the thing. Sometimes I know roughly where it was. If I don't, I just listen to it back again. And then I, you know, edit it out. Yeah, man.
Does yours have transcript editing? So you can like go through the video and read through the transcript and just delete it.
Yeah, it does. I've never done that though. I've never tried it like that.
Yeah, I've used on Riverside. I use it all the time. I just go, you can like highlight the whole like sentence and it'll cut out the word, like the whole section that you highlight of the transcript. It'll cut the video and out and everything. So like right at the words start and ending. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That's how, man, I do it. I don't want to take up too much more of your time there, buddy. It's getting on in time there, and I know you got your wife and you have one or two kids?
One, and he is one, and he is psycho. He is all over the place.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much more time away from you and your family, so we'll wrap it up a bit here, but I usually end the podcast with one last question, and it's, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the Rock, and if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you along the way, who would they be and why?
Just four people. Well, one of them is going to have to be my dad. One of them is going to have to be my dad because he's been a guidepost, I say, for my life. And he's been a big example for me. And he comes... he had started his business and has been running his business for, you know, over 20 years and has been really big example for me of what can be achieved through trade work. Shoot. We've got another, like a lot of these are going to be personal. We've got another family friend that is, he owns the concrete pump company that we use. And he's just like one of the biggest examples of people that are just like put their head down and get to work. And he's involved in all sorts of different projects and passion projects and stuff. And he's taken this pump company from nothing to one of, you know, the biggest one in the area pretty much, and just super stand up guy. And I enjoy seeing, cause you mentioned journaling, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I started journaling recently and started using one of the ideas that I got from him, and like, I take a lot of inspiration from him and a lot of the stuff that he does. Cause he just is go, go, go all the time. And he's super strict to following what he does. And he's got his eyes on, you know, he's got his mission statement, and he's going through revising that in the mornings, and he's just super driven and on it. He's like one of the closest things I would say to a goalpost that I've seen for me in my own personal life.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, it's, God, that's a good question. There's so many people. I can't even decide I should use people that are more people that are close to me, or like, I mean, we talked about Mike Rowe too. Like, he's built this huge platform for trade work, right? Yeah. Lately, he's been one of the biggest inspirations for me for like pushing people towards the trades, because we've been watching Dirty Jobs forever. I mean, that's one of the earliest memories I have in school, in class, watching Dirty Jobs, like, for whatever reason that we used to watch Dirty Jobs for. Like, I feel like the teacher just used to put it on in class just to get people to shut up and stuff.
I think that's exactly what it was for.
Just to get people to shut up, and ended up, I think, helping a lot, even though there was still that stigma for blue collar work. Shoot, man, I would have needed some time to think about this. Who are yours?
I don't tell anybody beforehand, because I want it to be a hard one. Who are mine?
Yeah, I don't want to know yours. I don't want to influence my decision, actually. Yeah. But I do want to know yours. I don't know. I'm going to have to come back to the last one. That's a good question, because there's so many people that I could choose from, and I don't know. That's a hard one, because you're like, well, do you go for influential figures, or do you go for people in your life that you've known? Like,
yeah.
What are yours? I'm sure you share it all the time.
My top one has evolved a bit, but the number one on my rock has evolved a bit over the years and over the course of this fucking podcast. Actually, my dad's up there as number one. Right. I don't talk to my dad. We don't get along, but he used to be Superman to me. Right. And then you grow up and you realize Superman has holes in his cape. Right.
Yeah.
And just the decisions that he's made and whatnot. He's up there as a beacon of, you know, what not to do in life. Right. And how not to live your life and whatnot. But how that's changed recently is, as I get older, and I'm 36 now, I'm around the age now my dad was when he started to crack, when he started to mentally crack, right? And he didn't fully like get engulfed by it until, you know, much later, but he started cracking, and, you know, the warning signs were there, right? And just like me, this past year was really hard for me. I started cracking around the same fucking age, right? And luckily, I had Mrs. Frost there, who was like, I've seen this coming for 20 years. You know, we all know your history. Your grandfather was like this. Your dad's like this. It's a family thing, right? It's a family tradition, if you want to call it that. And you know, it doesn't just affect the men. But Mrs. Frost really helped pull me out of the depths of that. And, you know, when I look up at my dad, and now I know sort of what was going through his brain, how he was reading things and feeling in a way, and how he had nobody there to really help him come out of that. And when he needed someone to lean on him the most, they pushed him away because of how he was. That makes me just admire him in a way, kind of. There are things that he did and still does that, you know, when I say I admire him, it might make you question that a little bit and my moralities, but but because of the things he's gone through and the things that I go through, I kind of know where his mentality is at, where his mindset is, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that nobody's there to help pull him out of the darkness. And including me, I'm in that, but we've come too far. That's a boundary for me now anyways. So, like, you know, I got to respect my family and my kids and protect them, right? So that's number one for me, and that's a long-winded explanation, but that's how that's evolved.
Yeah.
Number two is my wife. Number two is my wife for being that rock for me for, you know, 20 years being there for me, helping me, you know, be my guiding light, essentially, to, you know, hey, I need you to be better for you. I need you to be better for us, right? And she said something to me this past year when I was really going through it, and I made a video about it, and I took a lot of shit for it on Facebook, but whatever, I don't care. I was laying on her lap, and she was like playing with my hair, and we were talking about feelings, and this was all coming out. And she said, every day for 20 years, I've had to fight you for you. Right? No one else was there to fight for you. I had to show up every day and go to war for you. Right? And that just fucking, man, that brought tears to my eyes. That blew my mind. That crushed me, knowing that, like, you know, I have put this woman through hell. We've done shit to each other, right? Like, you know, not too bad, but like, there's nothing been too crazy, no abuse there or anything, but like, you know, we've been together for 20 years and you just don't see that anymore, right? And, you know, we've been together since high school. So that woman is incredible. You know, I'm 5 hours away from home right now, 5-6 hours away from home right now. If I needed her to come tomorrow or even tonight because I'm out of food and I don't want to go to the gas station and eat out and all that other stuff, she'll cook me. She'll spend all night cooking and then drive the 6 hours to bring me more food for the next week or so. And she's done that time and time again. And, you know, she's always there for me. Right. So I love that woman. You know, she's incredibly powerful and strong. And, you know, she was going through her own shit at the time. Severe anxiety, ADHD. She said to me, too, she's like, I want to see what we're like together when we're both healing or healed. Right. We've been together this long, just going through shit. Right. And we're figuring that out right now. You know, I've got diagnosed with BPD, borderline personality disorder. And so, you know, that explains a lot. And I'm going to therapy and doing the DBT and all this other stuff. And she's helped me along with that. So, you know, we're doing that. Exactly what she said. We're both healing at the same time from our shit together. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. Number three would be my kids on the same rock. You know, one made me a parent, taught me how to be, you know, patient. And the other one is teaching me, you know, how to be a parent in a different way, I guess. She not patience for the first one, but just how to be a parent, I guess. The patient one would be the second one. She's really testing my patience every day, right? So, like, she's 5 years old, incredibly smart, you know, and probably smarter than me, for sure. And, you know, every day I'm trying to, you know, learn ways to trick her and whatnot and be smarter than her. It's not working out too well. And I never want her to stop being like that either. I can't be too strict and, you know, snuff out that light in her. She's incredible. My fourth one is my Nana. My dad was adopted when he was a kid, didn't meet his mom until he was 50 years old. So I didn't meet my grandmother until my Nana until I was in my mid-20s. And, you know, she just died recently a few months back, and I hadn't seen her since 2020. I was working 4 hours away from her, and I had the day off. So I ripped into the 4 hours to go see her. We had lunch and she showed me around her apartment. And then she had, early onset dementia, I guess, and had two strokes shortly after that. And she didn't know who I was because I wasn't part of her long-term memory. We had just met within the last 10 years. So she didn't know who I was. One day I'm at work in the middle of the day and I get a call from her. My phone's ringing. I look down, it's her. For an hour, she remembered who I was. And we talked on the phone for an hour, and then I had to get back to work. And then I didn't hear from her since then, right? So it's been a couple years, but she just died a couple months ago. She, woman was in her, she's probably pushing in her 80s. She had a really bad form of cancer that should have killed her way back in the day. It was in a nasty car accident that should have killed her. In the end, a bladder infection took her out. So, like, yeah. Yeah, man, those are my four. And, you know, it used to be Austin Matthews from the Toronto Maple Leafs used to be up there, but he doesn't, you know, as I evolved, you know, as a person, that's my rock has transformed too. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, looking at it from that perspective, I would almost, so like when you asked me this question, I would almost have wanted to say like, well, yeah, split it up into my personal life. I've got rocks here. I've got like guiding, influential figures or rocks that I'm leaning on towards work and podcast, that type of stuff. But like, I'd be remiss if I didn't add to this quintessential, you know, my four rocks as just my family, I would say. As my wife and kid. So, I mean, and I guess it depends on how the question is framed. So, because I almost immediately wanted to be like, well, there's different sections of my life that I am focused on more or less. So, yeah. I don't know. If you ask me that question a different time, I might give you a different answer too. That's what I would say. My fourth one would definitely be my family, you know, my wife and baby at home. They keep me, when I'm thinking of them, keep me on task, essentially, and keep me moving forward. Because I know that I have responsibilities and I want to give them the life that, you know, we all want to have. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that, brother.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah, dude.
Thanks for coming on, brother. I appreciate it, dude.
It's, yeah.
Getting on in time here, like I said. No, I don't want to keep you too much longer. So,
yep.
Yeah, man, thanks for coming on and thanks for contributing to, you know, what I'm doing here. And, you know.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm glad we could make it work.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, Jaden, where can we find you on the socials?
Jaden R. Robinson and Blue Collar Future on Instagram. So, both those two accounts, you can find me there, and I respond mostly on Instagram. So I have TikTok and all that stuff, but I don't get on there as often. So
awesome, man. Awesome. Hey, thanks for coming on, buddy. And Jaden, you stay frosty.
I thank you. I appreciate it. Exactly. Yeah.